Recall the meeting of the Agricultural Development Committee meeting to order, April 4th, 2006, 2:30 p.m. We have one bill on the agenda today. It's House File 3915, the mole genetically engineered wild rice moratorium imposed on the, in the event of an application for a test plot. Now, it's been changed some since then. Now, the directive that the chair had at the last meeting was that if there's not peace in the valley, we're not going to vote on the bill. I'm not sure exactly, so we're going to research that a little bit because the chair never lies, so it has to be the way it is. So, and from what I'm hearing from some folks, I don't think we're quite there yet, but that doesn't mean we're not going to find out where we're at. And Representative Moe, thank you for all the work you've done on House File 3915. We do not have a quorum yet, so we cannot take any official action, and we did research. I wasn't just exactly sure as we go past deadlines here what we can actually do as an Ag Committee, but we can apparently, unless somebody tells me differently, from what we found out, we can act on bills. It's just that the only they've got one place to go, and that's the Rules Committee. So that's where we're at on that, and if I'm not correct on that, I need to be made aware of what we need to do. So we will not act on the minutes at this point or do any of those housekeeping type items. We will get right into House File 3915, and as I said, we had to have peace in the valley. And I know, Representative Moe, and I commend you for it. You've done a lot of work on this. And what I would like to, but there are some groups that haven't had the language for quite a while, so they haven't been able to run it by any types of boards or anything like that. So, okay, let's see. That's the issue on deadlines, first deadline, second deadline. Okay, when a committee in either house acts favorably on a bill after deadline established in the concurrent resolution, the bill must be referred to the Senate, in the Senate to the Committee on Rules and Administration, in the House, the representatives to the Committees on Rules and Legislative Administration for disposition. What's disposition? Disposal? No, disposition. I'm sure they would make up their mind there. So I guess we are in order. Well, we're in order anyway today because it's before second deadline. Or it is second deadline at midnight tonight. So, Representative Moe, if you could please let us know where we're at on the bill. I've talked to a lot of the interested parties, and a lot of them have signed off on it, but we're not quite to total peace in the valley at this point. And we'll find out, today's hearing is to find out why and where. So, Representative Moe, if you could kind of give us an update as to where we're at now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I appreciate everybody coming out again to debate or discuss this important issue. I would like to actually, when we have a quorum, I would like to move the A1 amendment, delete all amendments, when we're able to do that. So until we get a quorum, can we work off that amendment?
Representative Moe, members will be working off the A1 amendment, which is the shape we want to get it into as soon as we have a quorum.
Great.
Representative Moe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the conclusion of our committee meeting on Tuesday, before dinner, before we came back again, we had a lively discussion, brought forth a lot of compelling testimony and pros and cons in this, and we realized, I think, collectively as a committee, that one, there was a large population, primarily in north central Minnesota, that is concerned about native wild rice. They're concerned for a variety of reasons. One specific point that they wanted to bring up was they were concerned about the possibility of a genetically modified version of wild rice. And though I think there are other potential challenges to wild rice, but that was one that they brought up. I think the committee probably was in agreement, or pretty close to unanimous agreement, that wild rice is an important cultural, spiritual crop to this particular population. I don't think anybody disagreed with that. But there was obviously great division over the point of whether a genetically modified version of wild rice was even possible, whether if it was possible, whether it was in fact actually an issue or not. And so what we decided to do, and at the end of that meeting, I got the phone numbers from about a dozen people, which I phoned subsequent to today, and worked with Senator Rod Scoy to say, okay, given that we do not want to we do not want to disrupt in the chairs room, disrupt the peace in the valley. We will not address the genetically modified wild rice issue, but we would like to acknowledge that wild rice is a significant, is a very important way of life for people in northern Minnesota, and that that the state of Minnesota, in particular the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources, could look at wild rice and the potential challenges that it faces currently and in the future. So what you have in front of you is an amendment which would in fact just ask the Departments of Natural Resources and Agriculture, ask the Department of Agriculture in cooperation with the Department of Natural Resources, so still the Department of Ag is the lead agency, to ask them to look at the need. They're not studying, they're actually just looking at the need for a study. All right? They're going to report back to us.
Excuse me, Representative. I'll hold that thought if you would please. I'll officially call the meeting to order of the House Ag and Rural Development Committee. We do have a quorum. Representative Coonan moves the minutes of March 28th, 2006. Any discussion? Hearing none, all fair say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, Representative Moe moves the H3915A1 amendment. Just to get the bill in the shape the author would like. Any discussion? Hearing none, all fair say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Representative Tennis. Pass that one.
Let me see you in my corner.
Representative Moe, whose amendment is E2? Or do you, is that yours, or is that somebody's?
You know, that isn't mine. I read through it, and it basically...
Excuse me. Before we do the E2 amendment, let's continue with Representative Moe's description of the amendment here. You were talking about a study.
Right. Now, we're not even saying the Department of Ag, we're not saying you have to do this study. But we're saying, based upon the testimony that we heard in committee, we want you to look at the need for a study. And when you're looking at this need, look at, and there's 4 points here: evidence of population decline in these strains, and if such a decline is found, an explanation of possible contributing factors, arguments for and against the economic, agronomical, cultural, historical importance of maintaining the integrity of these strains, evaluation of methods available for maintaining the integrity of these strains, including scientific, regulatory, and any other reasonable methods of commissioners may identify, and for recommendations that address the findings in 1 through 3. So what we're saying is, listen, wild rice is both a crop and a natural resource that is challenged in Minnesota. It's important to a large population. Department of Ag, Natural Resources, let us know if you think such a study is warranted. Report back to us by the end of next year, November 15th. And then we will act based upon their recommendations. To me, it seems pretty simple, not very far-reaching, but it does at least acknowledge that the state of Minnesota should look at this issue more broadly. I want to say, too, thanks to our legal counsel, Colby Sullivan, for helping me work on the language in conjunction with many other people who participated. I will say, too, that I have had a discussion with a couple of members of the, couple employees of the Department of Agriculture, and when asked about the possibility of rules, Representative Heigerkin was talking about, was there anything we could do in rules? And the response I received from the Department of Agriculture on rules was specifically, Representative Moe, we would be glad to send you a letter, and the bands a letter if in fact anybody applied for one of these test plots. And I think, with all due respect, that does very little more than what they already do. So, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'd be glad to accept any questions. I have read through the A2 amendment, and I had a similar conversation with Representative Hamilton. I see no problems with the A2 amendment, and if Representative Finstead would want to offer that, I would accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay, where we're at now, Representative Finstead, you want to explain the amendment and move it?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I do want to move the A2 amendment, and if I could, Mr. Chair, I want to make a couple technical changes on it.
Okay, and that's okay.
And if I could ask Linda Sandvig to come up, please, and
okay,
she has some concerns with it, and I just think that this would maybe clear things up.
Members, we're on the A2 amendment. Just so everybody in this room knows what we're trying to do here, at my direction at the last meeting, it was a Peace in the Valley speech, or we're going to be voting on this thing, and so if we can achieve peace in the valley, today we'll have a vote. If not, we'll lay it over. But I just can't believe we're that far apart on this thing. So, Ms. Sandvig, what's your concerns here?
Linda Sandvig with Medical Alley Minbio. We just wanted to expand it as far as interested parties that had received the report. I think that was what we had discussed, and we just wanted to expand it. Anybody that had written comments and things like that, that would also be shared.
So what would you propose to change on the A2 amendment?
Yes. Instead of just the official written responses of the chairs, just of interested parties who had received the initial report from the commissioners. So anybody...
What line are you doing trying to do that on?
1.7.
So how would it read? Commissioners must include the official response...
Of interested parties who had received the initial report.
Okay, and then do you leave the Ojibwe representatives?
I think that would be inclusive of anybody that had responded to the initial report, because there will be more people interested than just members of the Ojibwe.
Representative Moe?
Mr. Chairman, I would prefer that we would leave in Ojibwe representatives and instead include and other interested parties.
Ms. Sandvig?
That would be fine.
Mr. Chair, can I incorporate that into my amendment? Then?
Certainly. So Mr. Sullivan could give him a second to write up what we just are talking about here. And so you consider that friendly?
Yeah.
Okay. So I will move the amendment to the amendment to include Ojibwe and Ojibwe representatives and interested parties. Mr. Sullivan, I'll give you a second there. I'm going to read what I'm moving.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Chair, if I can give it a shot now before I write it up, I think the amendment would be page 1, line 7, after response of, delete the chairs, and then on page 1, line 8, after representatives, insert, and other interested parties.
Any discussion from anyone in the audience on that? If not, all favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have the A2 amendment as amended. Any further comment from anyone in the audience? For or against? If not, Representative Finstead moves the A2 amendment as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, so now we have the bill as amended before us. So are there any other amendments from members at this point? Representative Heidrichen?
Okay, to that point, I'm wondering why Representative Moe, we went away from the last discussion we had on it. If we're going to be doing a study, I don't like studies, it comes back to us again tomorrow, and we have an answer to the problem. We're not addressing the problem that the Ojibwe people have with this product. I think there's a ways of doing it, and we had talked about there's a statute, section 31.65, that deals with foods of religious significance. And I see no reason why we can't put the Zania aquatica on the Zania, as Pararuspi or something like that. But there's two different strains of well rice, anyways, that's very sacred to the Ojibwe. And I see no reason why we can't apply that. And Mr. Cody Sullivan can help me on that. We sat in our office and discussed that, and I think it would be relevant. I think it would fit as number 7, I think, under that statute, if we put that under there. it would take care of the problem. It wouldn't be a study. I know that the DNR perhaps is going to probably testify they don't want to do a study, and I don't know if the U.S. Department of Agriculture wants to go there. But if we got a chance and an opportunity to take care of the problem, we could take care of it here and there, and we could get away from moratoriums and GMOs and anything else that may be coming down the pipe. But I'm just I'm wondering why we went away from that thought process.
Assemble. Mr. Chairman, thank you, Representative Heigerkin. I appreciate your work on this issue. I spent a good deal of time looking into the question that you presented to us. In application, what would essentially happen if we had included these two strains of wild rice under the foods of spiritual significance? They would need to be labeled appropriately when they come to the shelf. And I think in the future, that might be something interesting for this committee to take up, and I would support that legislation. In fact, I'll carry that legislation myself next year. But right now, there's a certain amount of fear in northern Minnesota about wild rice, specifically now, as it's being grown, as the population is declining, as its habitat for wood ducks and spawning fish. I mean, more broadly, it's the wild rice itself that's going out there that people are concerned about. And while this would ensure the purity or the origination of the growing of wild rice that was sold in Minnesota, which is a good thing to do, it wouldn't do anything for the question that we're bringing forward. Unless I'm missing something, yeah. Which I might
thank
be.
Thank you, Chair. And I understand where the duck hunters, among others, have concerns about the flight of the migratory birds and ducks, especially used to supposedly remove their flight. But again, much of that has to do with what the DNR did in the 50s when they took ponds and they basically dammed them up and made lakes out of them. Obviously, we lost our rights. So if we want to go back to what we had in the 30s and 40s, we have to undo what the DNR did and really address the problem. Right. But I don't think that's our issue right here. I think our issue right now is what do we do with those strains that have religious significance, and just doing the study is not going to take care of that problem.
Mr. Chairman, to a point and then a question, Representative Heigerkin. I think we have a very significant discussion here last Tuesday, and there were a lot of questions that we all brought forward about this topic, and I think there's education that needs to be due on either side, on those people who have issues with the potential for GMO wild rice. I think there's some education to do there, and I think on the other side there's education to do about the real cultural and spiritual significance of wild rice. What this would do, what we're proposing here, would be to ask the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Natural Resources to look at the need for a study to bring forth more information that then this committee and the legislature could act upon. That's the first point. That's why we're doing this. The question for you, Representative Heigerkin, is what specifically would that do? I mean, you say that this would take care of the issue, but what do you mean by that? How would this take care of the issue? I guess that's the part that is lost on me.
Personal Heigerkin?
Okay, to that point, I think if we basically exempt those two particular strains, it would take care of a problem in the fact that this would be considered to be very similar to the kosher foods. Meaning if you have religious significance, they bypass some of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's standards and rules and regulations, and it protects them. I think this would perhaps protect those two strains. But with that, I still like to have some testimony from someone from the Ojibwe as well as somebody from the GMOs and see if this would take care of them.
Yeah, obviously I'd like to see if anybody else has any input on that. And Representative Heigerkin, I'm not saying I don't like the idea. I'm just saying I think, at least in my assessment, it's an answer to a different question.
Okay.
With that, Mr. Chairman, I think I'm sure there's people who would like to respond to this amendment, and then perhaps they can also, in their testimony, respond to Representative Heigerkin's question.
Yes. What I'd like to do at this point is go with people that still may have some concerns, because I think the big thing is addressing the concerns here, and if we get past the concerns, then we just get out of here. I think the Heigerkin approach might be another way to do it. I don't know how you do that on here today, but we'll find that out. That's why we have hearings. Is there anyone in the audience? Now, I've talked to a lot of folks from the major farm groups that are there fine. I do believe that the Department of Ag, from what I understand, still had some concerns. Is there anyone else on the House File 3915 as amended that has any concerns? Okay, you can please come forward. In the Department of Ag, right? Anybody else?
Okay.
Come on up. I thought you were saying So what we're addressing now, and then we come back to it from Heigerkin's concerns. What we're addressing now is concerns about House File 3915 as amended, to see if we can achieve peace in the valley here yet today. Please identify yourself for the record, please, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. I went right by Representative Hamilton to the previous question.
Yeah, it was just a point of clarification, and I think Representative Moe answered the question. Representative Moe, you're looking for more of a germ plasma preservation, if you will. Is that correct? The significance of the two strains of rice and all the impacts or potential impacts. Is that correct in the study?
Representative Moe?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hamilton, that's one question that the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources could choose to answer. I think that we also have the opportunity to answer the question a little more broadly. I think many people in the Senate in particular think that wild rice, the concerns for wild rice are more broad than specifically the germ plasma.
Plasma,
yeah, there you go, thanks. I'm not a farmer.
By Hamilton?
Yeah, so yes, that potentially, but I think we've agreed, and I've agreed again, I am not going to support any broadening of this bill. I stand by that. So somebody's looking at broadening this question to genetic engineering, if for this session, I've committed not to do that.
Okay, please identify yourself for the record, please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Paul Strandberg from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. We really appreciate Representative Moe's willingness to compromise on something that couldn't come to an agreement, and we believe that the language as now is better than what we discussed at the last meeting. But we do believe that it's unnecessary for the purpose of the original law. As Dr. Hanks demonstrated at the last hearing, we think that the law and the federal laws will prevent the escape of any possible GMO rice from flocks, even if it should happen. We have no idea as to when it will be, and if it ever is, it's decades down the road. We think that our system will approve any plots before we believe that the germplasm would escape into wild rice.
So, any questions for Mr. Strandberg?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Strandberg. So, what harm does this bill do? What is wrong with this bill?
Mr. Strandberg?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Erdahl, we don't think it does any harm, but we don't think it does much good either.
That's kind of peaceful.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
So your basic, Mr. Chairman, your basic position then is that it doesn't do any harm, but you're thinking it's not needed.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, one further point then. And maybe Representative Moe would answer as well. Is there a fiscal note? Is there a cost to this study that has been examined?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Herdahl, there has not been one requested, and the what the department is asked to do is very open, and it could perhaps cost a lot or it could cost nothing, depending on what we do.
Representative Herdahl?
That's all.
It's so smart.
For example.
Thank you, Representative. Mr. Chairman, I think the gentleman from the Department of Agriculture answered the question clearly, though, in that they don't see that there's a problem with it. Potentially, they could choose by their own choice to broaden this inquiry and increase the expense to them. But the simple question to come back to report to us whether there's a need for a study or not, based on these questions, I can't see how that would cost a significant sum of money. And it would probably be people who are currently researching this topic in their department as a course of their job assignment. It's many of these questions probably already coming up.
Any other questions for Mr. Strandberg at this point? Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, now there's another hand that went up with someone with concerns. Oh, you're the DNR guy.
I'm the DNR guy.
Yeah.
Right now I'm looking for him.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name here for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Ed Bogus with the DNR Division of Fish and Wildlife, and not so much concerns as just to kind of get on the record with the committee. DNR's obviously interested in wild rice for the fish and wildlife reasons that were mentioned earlier, and I know that our regional director, Paul Swenson, convened the meeting up in Representative Moe's area on trying to bring people together on this issue. We've worked actively to manage wild rice in the state, and the way we've done that is primarily through water level management. It was mentioned earlier that damming up lakes and increasing water level results in increased loss of wild rice, and so we've done actually cooperative projects with Ducks Unlimited on about 180 basins over the last few years to keep the beaver dams out of the outlets of these lakes, and it's really increased wild rice production. So we have an interest in this. We haven't been involved in these most recent discussions. It's a little unclear in looking at the language as amended as to what the criteria would be in determining the need for the study, and then the study itself is pretty broad in its scope, and so but we would be taking the lead. Department of Agriculture would be the lead agency, and we would be kind of following their lead on it. We would certainly, whatever the wisdom of the committee and the legislature is, we'd certainly bring whatever information we could to the process. It's a little unclear looking at it as to how we would reach the conclusion as to whether or not this sort of a study was needed, but we certainly support maintaining wild rice as a viable resource. It's unique to Minnesota, and it's important to wildlife as well as for cultural reasons. So just wanted to be on the record from the DNR for that. We don't, at least as far as I know, as of this morning, we don't have a position yet on this particular, an official position on this particular amendment.
But Mr. Bogus, as far as you're concerned right now, you're at peace with it?
Mr. Chairman, I'm feeling fairly peaceful.
Representative Jockey. Thank you, Mr. Bogus. Doesn't the DNR have a wild rice dedicated fund or account?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jockey. We're working on one for deer processing, Mr. Chairman. But we already have one for wild rice.
Would you like to amend that?
The wheels are turning.
So, Mr. Chair, we do have one. Do you know how much money annually goes through that fund?
Mr. Bias?
Mr. Chair and Representative Junkie, I know that question came up in a different committee this morning.
I don't know.
I know you were. And I'm not sure the annual receipts. I probably have that back in my briefcase. But I did work up the balance in that account at the end of the last fiscal year, it was about $50,000.
So, Mr. Chair, the only reason I bring it up is if there does end up being a cost down the line somewhere, we do have actually some wild rice funding put aside in the state that we could, if there's minor costs involved, we could, much as the DNR would, you know, but there's a fund balance there now, and their charge is to take care of native wild rice. It may fit in there if the need be.
Okay. Then we're going to Representative Heidrichen, then Pence. Representative Heidrichen. I'll be Erdo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Vargas, again, it's been pointed out to me a number of times of why we have less ducks. And Representative Genius and I have gotten into it on the House floor a number of times on this particular issue. And one of the issues that's never been addressed by the DNR is something they had done in the 60s, or even before, when they dammed up some of those ponds and things of this sort. Have you ever thought, and previous to that, I remember and I talked to some of the tribal people that are very familiar with the situation. There used to be a lot of wild rice. There used to be a lot of ducks. And they attribute the loss of ducks to that event of where the DNR had gone in and done some damming, et cetera, and did some real serious damage to the wild rice and to the actually the duck nesting ponds, among other things. But has there ever been a thought of going back and undoing some of the things that were done?
Mr. Chair, Representative Heidrichen, I'm sure that what you described has contributed to loss of wild rice, and we have in recent years looked at going back and trying to remove some of these dams that were put in 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. That in itself is a controversial thing, because those lakes that are formed, or the level of those lakes that are formed, becomes established in people's minds, and they like those. Some people like those. Some would like to go back to more of the shallow bodies of water with more vegetation. So it's and we have in some cases been successful, as some of those dams have started to fail. We have been successful in removing dams, and there's fish passage issues, there's rice issues, there's other issues. No one issue like that is probably can be pointed at as the issue that's led to the duck situation that we're in right now. But it's no doubt that as we've taken some of those marshy, shallow lakes and raised the water levels artificially or through beaver dams or whatever, that's detrimental to wild rice.
President Heidrichen.
Thank you. And to that point, I know a lot of it's been, I know that there's been a movement to limit some of the bait dealers and what they do with some of the ponds up in my area, because they feel that it's affecting the crayfish, among other things, within those ponds, and there's been a movement to restore those ponds or have them restored back to the original state, and you can get into some real gray areas there. But again, we can attribute the flight of the ducks to what happened back in those days. It's been slowly moved west. And there's a lot of arguments there, and there's been a lot of blame put on the drainage of ponds in central Minnesota and southern Minnesota as well. But I still think that it all started with the loss of the wild rice up there and some of those ponds, et cetera, et cetera. And again, it's good to hear that there's thought of going back and undoing some of those things. So it's good to hear that. Thank you.
With some pass, then Erdahl. With some pass.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd like to say, first of all, we have ample ducks up in our area, geese, sandhill cranes, 30-40 on a wheat field when I'm combining. We have a lot of skunks, shot a few this weekend. Rabbits are in high cycle, and on Saturday afternoon I counted 14 bald eagles right out. Within a quarter of a mile of our house.
How do they taste?
They weren't bad.
Like chicken?
They were mainly getting swimming rodents, which was really exciting watching them swim. But my question is, how much of the license goes to wild rice? I'm just fascinated by these licenses.
Mr. Bogus?
Mr.
Chairman, Representative Pettis, the wild rice account is proceeds from wild rice harvesting and dealer's licenses only. It's only from wild rice related licenses.
Okay.
Representative Pettis.
Thank you.
Representative Rudolph.
I want to defer for a little bit.
Representative Blaine.
Mr. Chair, I'm just curious if I can ask the author of the bill where the bill is at in the Senate side as we speak.
Representative Moe.
Representative Moe. Mr. Chairman, Representative Blaine. The author of the original bill is Senator Becky Laurie. We have been exchanging voicemails, so we haven't actually had to sit down and see if she's interested in carrying the amended language in the Senate. However, Senator Rod Scoy and Senator Dallas Sams are interested in this, our amended language, and would carry it in the Senate.
Representative Blaine?
Well, I'm just a little bit baffled here, because we've gone, I had to go back and to read the original House Bill 3915, look at that, and I looked at the Representative Moe, the A1 amendment is your amendment, correct?
Great.
Which was adopted, and then we adopted the A2 amendment of as that was amended on here. So we've taken, I don't know how much time we've spent on this now, what we're down to now is debating whether or not, and correct me if I'm wrong, Representative Moe, with all due respect to you, but now we're debating whether or not we should vote on whether to have authorized the commissioners of the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Agriculture to get together and decide if they should do a study on something that we're not sure about the need for. I don't know what to say, Representative Moe. I can babble with the best of the world, I think, and probably everybody in this house will probably concur with that, but you've got me just stumped here. When you say that the Senate will do something, that the Senate, two Senate authors may do something with this bill, I'm thinking to myself, why not?
For some moment.
Because we're down to dictating whether or not we should have the chair or the commissioners of the two departments get together and talk about whether or not they should sometime in the future have a study. And I'm just, is that really what you're here with us with now?
Sam,
do you want to talk to that point? Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Blaine, Representative Moe has been very instrumental in working with the groups and finding peace in the valley. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I know myself and a lot of others sitting around this table really encouraged Representative Moe to do. And I want to thank him for that. Mm-hmm. As Representative Moe, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, and if I do, please correct me.
All right.
You know, Representative Moe, he's very passionate about this.
Mm-hmm.
And he has made it clear to us at the last hearing that he sees a need. And again, trying to accommodate our concerns sitting around here, we do have this sitting in front of us. I think Representative Moe has come a long way and addressed a lot of our concerns, and I think it's only appropriate for us to listen to what he has to say here today.
Representative Blaine?
Mr. Chair, and Representative Hamilton and members of the committee and for anyone here listening, I'm certainly not being critical of Representative Moe or the issue. And Representative Moe's talked to me on the House floor about how passionate he feels about this, and we've talked about our own faith and our own religion, and I have no problem with that. I'm just at the point of, I guess I'll put it, just put it to you bluntly, is this really where you wanted to go with this, and does this do what what you wanted to do. Because in other words, what I'm saying to you, Frank, is the fact that we've come a long ways from the original bill down to now basically just almost like calling the commissioners on the phone and asking, what do you guys think about doing a study sometime down the road about wild rice? Is that where you want to go?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Blaine, two things. One, you've got a great point. But the Departments of Agriculture and Natural Resources are beholden to us, are beholden to the voters, taxpayers, through us. And they have a lot of things to accomplish. I think it would press this issue with them to be instructed in statute from us to actually report back on the need for a study. I mean, so technically this would accomplish something. And in doing so would provide us with the information we need to make some educated decisions on the issue. The second thing is, I think it is very important that this committee and this body acknowledge the cultural and spiritual significance of wild rice to Native Americans in Minnesota. This is a small gesture, yet a tangible one, and there's a resolution that I'm going to ask for support that's non-binding. That's a gesture to those tribes that, you know what, you're right, this is an important crop to you, and we understand that. We're going to continue this conversation to see how we can work with you to address your issues. That's what we're doing. And I'm just asking you, Representative Blaine, and the rest of the members of the committee to go with me on this and acknowledge that and continue to work with them on this issue.
Sam Blaine?
Okay. How many folks, I've got Heiger, Canardo, Hamilton, how many folks do we have that wish to testify with concern yet? We've got one? Okay.
Mr. Chair, once you're done with testifiers, I'd like to talk to them.
Okay.
But I'll wait for testifiers.
Okay, Heiger,
wait for testifiers.
Okay, Erdahl?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You can defer again. It's enough.
No, I can't defer twice.
Okay.
Please?
Okay.
Just thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Moe,
I want to commend you for being willing to make some changes. We've gone from 17 references to moratoriums to zero. That's a good thing. But maybe going along a little bit with what Representative Blaine was saying, it seems like now with the bill. And its essence, says to me, is that we might or might not do a study from which we might or might not learn something, which might or might not cost money, depending on the detail of the study that we might or might not do. And I think that, hopefully we can, if that's what you want to do, I guess I'll support that.
Representative Erdahl, if there were the resources available to do the study this year, I would request that be done. But we don't have the resources in the House Ag Natural Resources Finance Committee for that. So this puts it in the pipe, and hopefully the DNR and the Department of Agriculture will be preparing to take that request from us in ensuing years, should they deem it necessary.
Person Hamilton?
No, Mr. Chair, I'll pass.
Okay, before we bring up the last testifier, about tomorrow, things got changed a little bit for tomorrow, but we are going to be at 2:30. If you be here as soon as you can, we've got folks coming from long ways away, Crookston, Canton, and around. So tomorrow we're going to have a presentation on low-cost parlors right at 2:30. So if you be here right away, that'd be great. And then we've got some bird flu issues. We've got AURI, MLC, Ag Educators, bird flu. So it's my intent tomorrow to start at 2:30, go to 2:50, go to a floor session at 3:00. It's supposed to be only paper shuffle. Come back by 15 minutes after that and finish the agenda for the day. So I'm not... We have a basement hearing room. We don't know for how long. We'll see what we can do. So we got folks coming in from a long ways away. So if we can get there right at 2:30, that'd be great. We'll have to check, watch your emails and memos. And We got through 2:30 to 5. We should be okay. Okay, please come forward. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, and let us present your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Beth Nelson. I'm president of the Minnesota Cultivated Wild Rice Council, and we have not had much time to formulate an opinion on this. I just got this, not from Representative Moe, but from another ag constituent who emailed it to me for my review, so I've not been able to get it to all of my board. I have talked to our vice chairman of our board, and we still believe that this is a solution looking for a problem. That the real issue is, you know, GMO wild rice. We are not working on that. That was a solution looking for a problem as well, and this is even more a solution looking for a problem. We were not consulted. Last Tuesday when we left, Mr. Chairman, you instructed that there should be all parties pulled in and a compromise developed. I did send an email to Representative Moe saying that we would have an interest in discussing this, and received a phone call from him last night, I believe, saying that he had put together some language for a study and that it would be heard today, and pretty much that was that. And if we wanted to testify for or against, we could do that. And in my opinion and the opinion of my vice chairman, that is not in the spirit of a compromise. This study, as it's proposed, the study to do a study, is somewhat vague, and it would have potential impact for the cultivated wild rice industry in the state of Minnesota. We are the second largest, second only to California, in cultivated wild rice, and we do contribute millions of dollars to some of the poorest counties in Minnesota. And again, we believe that in the spirit of a compromise, we should have been consulted on this language, and we were not.
Okay, and thank you. And the way I see that one, Representative Moe has been talking about 1,000 people, and if he didn't get them all... I did say peace in the valley, and it looks like we're not quite there yet on this point. In fact, what would be my... Well, first of all, questions for the witness. It sounds like it's just a matter of time here for the hasn't had the time to look at it. Representative Moe?
Mr. Chairman, and all due respect to Ms. Nelson, we have different recollections of the course of events between now and the last committee meeting.
I can't remember what I had for supper last night.
Yeah.
But I do remember what I did.
Yeah,
say.
And my phone call with her yesterday, as I called everybody on the list, as I worked primarily with the wild rice people that I worked most with, was Senator Rod Scoy, who's a former president of their board, who would be responsible for carrying it in the Senate. So I worked on this language primarily with him. That I didn't sit down with Ms. Nelson. I didn't do that. I didn't sit down with anybody. Spent a lot of time on the phone. And I explained what we were doing to her yesterday. Asked her if she had any questions that she had.
Didn't say it like that. What we're doing to her, doing for her or with her.
What did I say?
Don't forget it.
We'll just let that one go. And she was just as she testified here, resistant to anything. So I said, well, okay, you're gonna have to just come and make your case to the committee then. Obviously, we have a difference of opinion. I would question if there is everybody on Ms. Nelson's board and who she theoretically represents agrees with her.
Representative, I did say peace in the valley for Tuesday. It is Tuesday, and it looks to me like there's not quite peace in the valley. But I didn't say peace in the valley for the next meeting on this. So I think you made your case pretty well. I think you got a lot of support here. But if there's still concerns, so I need more time, we won't be voting on it today. We do have a meeting, members, coming up Tuesday, next Tuesday, to talk about things much less controversial than this, the Cervidae elk issue and DOMA. So the much
same sex elk.
It's just not working. So I'm going to keep my word on the peace in the valley for Tuesday, and that's what I said. We went back and looked, but I never said about the next meeting. So this, and my commitment to you, Representative Junkie, and others, was we're not going to just kill this right here just for fun. But rather,
I appreciate that.
I think Representative Moe has.
has done a lot of work on this, and when you can bring as many groups as you have, I said that because I think you'd be able to do it. But it looks like we're not quite there. But let's, we do have some questions, questions for the witness now, and I also have a list for questions on the bill itself. So two witnesses I have, Heidwirken.
He's gone.
Okay. Junkie?
Well, to the witness, to the room, to the committee, to the bill. Here's my read on it, and hopefully take it for what it's worth. I think that this, we should put this on and we should pass it. And for all of you that, from the wild rice growers to others sitting in the audience, various lobbying groups that were against the original bill, keep this in mind. The original bill, if we don't do anything to it, I suspect still could show up in either body as an amendment to an omnibus ag bill. And I don't know that we have the votes to stop it on the floor of the House every time these things come up. I would much rather see this committee put together something everyone's saying is pretty peaceful, including the wild rice growers, hopefully eventually here, so that when it does get to the floor, if it does come up as an amendment on either body, we can say, wait a minute, time out. This isn't, the original one comes, we have arguments that we changed it in committee, it ought not be the one moving forward. We had days of discussions, and we came up with a bill that most people could accept that we don't think is harmful in the least bit to anyone at this point in time. So from a tactical standpoint, I guess I'll say for this committee and for everyone sitting in the audience, I think it behooves us to put this together and move it forward in a form that we can find acceptable. Just a little heads up.
And thank you, Jim Junkie. I think that's very true. Wilson Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question to Ms. Nelson. You know, you started in your opening statement, or stated in your opening statement, that you understand the importance of the wild rice and the industry it is to Minnesota, as I think Representative Moe does. There's nothing in this bill any longer that talks about genetics or GMOs. Nothing. It talks, you know, we talked a little bit about the preservation. We talk about the economics, the agronomics, cultural and historical importance. There's nothing about genetics. And I would see that there could be, and my question to you is, don't you see that there could be some benefits to the individual that you represent also in a study such as this?
Ms. Nelson?
Again, our opposition is in the spirit of compromise. We have not had a chance to review this. So possibly, if it was more detailed than what that study would encounter, we do not have any Zizania aquatica. I don't know if any of you know that. The one we have is Zizania palustris. So there's things in this bill, because it was hurriedly put together in this amendment, that perhaps aren't accurate, perhaps they're not kind of the full story, so to speak. And so I guess that would be our opposition, is that the idea may not be bad, but in the time given, it would have been nice to have seen those a couple days ago and not 2 hours before it's being heard.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Okay. I will never be accused of not giving a bill a thorough hearing. Okay, so with that, any other questions? Anyone else in the audience has opposition or concerns at this point? Okay, I'm going to lay this bill over until the
Senator
Hamilton.
I'm sorry. With the last witness and the answer that she gave to my question, aren't we close to peace in the valley, sir?
I'm starting to feel the love, Representative Hamilton.
I was just wondering if we can vote on it.
We're awful close. Now, I don't think we can today, but because I said, unless there's peace in the valley, we're not going to. Although I could move it up till tomorrow, if we would promise not to spend more than 30 seconds on it. Because I said Tuesday. I said peace in the valley by Tuesday. I didn't say it for any other day. Representative Ball, you want to go tomorrow, or you want to go next Tuesday? What do you want to do?
Mr. Chairman, I can't promise that Ms. Nelson will ever like this bill.
You don't have to, Representative Ball. Today's Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday.
I would prefer to vote on it whenever we, you know, as soon as we can.
I think, keep that thought that you're having a good thought there. I can see it. I think Resident Junkie's point is very well taken in my mind, because if we don't do this, I really think that we're going to see the old 3915 on every ag bill we've got out there, and I don't want to fight that fight every day, because I'd rather have you on our side on 3915 as amended than trying to get it passed as it was.
Why don't we just vote, Mr. Chairman?
Because I said we weren't on Tuesday. Details.
So with that, I'm going to lay the bill over. Are you okay tomorrow?
Yep.
Okay, let's go to
Tomorrow's Wednesday, right? Not Tuesday.
Right.
2:30, first thing up, be here. And Ms. Nelson, you got till tomorrow to get your board. If you're still opposing it, you'll certainly be able to testify, and then we'll be able to vote after that. So with that, we'll lay that over. And I think that's it for today. So with that, good government all the time. We are adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for coming in again on the issue. I appreciate your time.